Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst. The trailer booking at Billy Bones. A Paolo Di Canio. A West Ham United. We celebrate our victories. We stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history. West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a podcast.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good afternoon, or evening. This is
Hello.
More than just a podcast.
Podcast.
Sorry about that. It's a bank holiday special. Welcome, May Bank Holiday. It's May Day for all you communists out there, or socialists, or whatever you call yourselves. It's May Day, and we're trying not to be too upset with our one game this week, but we are back. We've got John. Where are you? What are you doing?
I'm at home, hoping the rain stops.
Yeah. Yeah. What were you going to do today before you decided to do an impromptu podcast?
I had a day planned in my garden, constructing a gazebo.
Nice. Was nice. My plan. That got you out of that.
Well, yeah, I've still got to do it.
Nigel, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in my shed.
Oh.
Oh.
Shedman. Sorry, I wasn't ready for that. I thought you weren't going to say you were in your shed. I thought, has it got gutters and everything?
Has it got gutters?
Yeah, gutters. What's the rain go when it comes off the roof?
Well, it slides off the roof.
Oh, no gutters.
Is it raining where you are still, Nigel?
No, it's stopped. Stopped about 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, it has eased.
I was supposed to do guttering today.
Oh, but you were working this morning, doing.
I did go and did a bit of
locksmithing.
Locksmithing, yeah. Did a bit yesterday as well.
Yeah. So help me out. More later about my safe. Yeah, there's a good story of that, but it's not a safe podcast. So
we'll be the judge of that.
Yeah. Anywho, Canning Town Lend, he's got an earache at the moment. And a headache. And he's a bit grumpy as well. He might join us, he might not join us. So if you hear some loud noises and swearing, he obviously has joined us. But let's crack on, because we've got a football game to talk about.
Have we?
Yeah. Chelsea versus West Ham, the London derby. It was our chance to go do the double on them and leapfrog them back again into eighth place. But it didn't quite go like that. First of all, I'm going to start with you, Nigel, because John has already told me off air he didn't watch the game. I was at the game, which I'll tell you about later. But Nigel, did you watch the game first?
I have seen the game, yes.
Oh, but you didn't watch it live then?
I didn't watch it live. No, I was watching Moana.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, when you get small kids, you'll find out.
It's a cartoon film, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Disney film, yeah.
Oh, right. Just on like streaming service, or you went to a cinema?
Yeah, on Disney. No, on Disney. Right. On Disney Channel.
Wow.
I've only seen it about probably 30 times.
And I assume this is your granddaughter.
Yes. Yeah, who's just arrived, turned up just a minute ago.
Oh, excellent. So, is she joining us?
Well, I said bring her down. Okay. So we might get a bit of sense out of her, right, more than anyone else.
So did you watch the highlights? Did you watch the full game?
I watched an hour of it. So, like,
yeah,
hour
I was
going to
say, could you really watch? No, I'm sure you knew the result.
Yeah, I knew the result. Obviously, I was following the chatter on the group.
Yeah.
So, and live score kindly.
Well,
where do,
all right. Well, let's. I'll tell you about my day. But first, let's talk to you about what you saw.
What did I see?
Was it a game of inches?
Oh, no. 15. Well, just go through the five goals, just to remind you. Well, Cole Palmer on 15 minutes. Gallagher going to sign for West Ham this summer on 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't know. Madueke. I don't know.
Madueke.
Yeah. 36. 3-0. 3-0 down after 36 minutes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, start the next half, and Jackson scores straight after the first. Second half starts on 48, and then he scores again on 80. 5-0.
5-0.
But we hit the post three times,
but,
and Emerson had a sitter. Don't forget that. Could have been 5-4.
Well, you say 5. You could have been, should have been.
Would have been.
You know, it was just... I mean, if you pick it apart, defensively, it was shambolic. Yeah? So... part tactics, part performances. I think the players have got to look after themselves, got to look at themselves a lot. In all right, you know, teams lose 2-3 goals, but it's how you then react to that. And there was no, from what I saw, no reaction. What's worrying for me, the clubs are too busy imploding, really. I think everybody's not bothered about the Chelsea game now, are they? So if you look at that back line, we say we were defensively shambolic. There was only one player there, really, that's not a first team starter. That if you was picking the best defence, you would go Emerson, Koufal.
Yep.
Zuma and Areola. So Ogbonna. Was Ogbonna at fault for all five goals?
Nope.
No, he weren't. Perhaps it exposes a bit of the folly. We've offered him a new contract, another year extension. I'm not sure about that now. It's when you look at it and you think that is... perhaps this should be his last season, really, in Premier League football. I can't see after... This is not the first time that's happened with him in the team. So, I'm not blaming Ogbonna, but what I'm saying is, when you pair him with Zuma, my God, it's...
the slowest central defensive partnership.
Yeah, thing about the low block...
No, the choice, though, was there, unless you were going to put Ben Johnson
block,
in there?
The low block works on pace, yeah? So you have to have pace on your full-backs, and you have to have the ability to bring the ball out quickly. Well, when you put Souček in the middle on top of that, flat-footed, I don't know why he took Alvarez off at half-time.
He called out Alvarez in his... I mean, obviously...
Was Alvarez awful? Because I've seen that he took him off. Was he awful?
Nearly everyone was awful.
Yeah. But he did call out. He seemed to have a go at...
He
said players needed mental toughness and that they need to take responsibility. But then he said, this is what happens when you sell...
Declan
Your
Rice.
Best player in Declan
no,
Rice.
No, but there is
to be a dig at Alvarez.
I don't know about that, whether it's a dig at Alvarez. At the end of the day, you know, could we be higher up the pitch with Declan Rice in that team? Yes, we could. So he's not wrong there.
Yeah, but were we higher up the pitch when we had Declan Rice? We were like, what did we finish 14th last season?
Well, this is the weird thing. So, we all know what I did when I went on Claret and Blues, and I ignored the defence, and just concentrated on the amount of goals, because we have scored more goals. But this is now going to be the worst ever Premier League season defensively. And bearing in mind we've been relegated 3 times from the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... And when you look at it, and David Moyes by himself is a more defensively minded manager, that's a shocking stat.
Yeah.
To concede, well, not only that is, we've got two games left against teams that like to play.
We'll get another four or five.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah, but you could definitely see Luton getting a couple. Yeah. Now we might get a couple against Luton. We could get three or four against Luton because it could be like that. But Man City, depending on the mood they're in, you know, here's the thing: if Man City only draw, they got Tottenham away, which actually is like their graveyard as such. They don't win there. They really struggle at White Hart Lane. So if they only get a point there, now it's down on goal difference, isn't it? You know, they're going to need to whack us, and we could whack us.
Arsenal on 83.
They could definitely whack us.
Yeah? Mm? Arsenal on 83 with two games to go.
Yeah.
Man City on 82 with three games to go.
Yep.
We could be kingmakers.
But yes. All of that said, do we put that down to Rice, or do we not put that down to Dawson? To Dawson, you know. I mean, look at our defence. I mean, Zuma can't run.
Our defence is both.
I think is a decent player, but something's not right there. Doesn't want to play orders. Or can't deal with it. And then on top of that, you got like Mavropanos is prone to a mistake. And Ogbonu's like past his best, so we're not in a very good position, are we? So Kira, he was prone to a mistake
as well. Yeah, I mean, and this is at the end of the day. Now the cold light of day, season's coming to end. He's moving on. We can now look and go. And part of it for me is the circus that runs the club.
Yeah.
There's every game ticked by from January onwards, with no contract, all this, wait till the end of the season, all the rumours, the players know what's going on. You know, there'll be stories inside the club doing the rounds, what's going on. Yeah? So the players now have got to this arse end of the season. They know he's not going to be here. And you can see that in the performances.
We will come to that point after the game.
No, but I think it's all wrapped up. We've just been whacked by Arsenal 6-0. Yeah? And since then, we've been done by Palace 5-2. We've been done by Chelsea now. And we got done a couple, 2-0, at home to Fulham.
Mental toughness. Responsibility of the players. I just want to address those two points from David Moyes.
No,
do you make him right on that?
Yes, I do make him right. But what I have heard from him is no responsibility.
No.
And there's the thing.
He did apologise to the fans.
No. It's easy to apologise to the fans. I get it.
He apologised and said, I take ultimate responsibility.
But I didn't hear that then.
Well, yeah. I'll send you. I've got three interviews. His press conference.
Yeah, I've seen them. I've seen them and everything.
Yeah.
But what does he say? I take full responsibility. But. No, but when he says, I take full responsibility, does he explain?
No.
His explanation is, these players didn't do this. Not, where is his responsibility then?
He then goes on to say, my teams don't play like this. I'll tell you one thing, though,
because that is his team.
I was sitting...
His Sunderland team did.
As you know,
That was a basket. Sunderland, I can forgive him because, you know, they were being picked apart season after season. They should have gone the year before and the year before that and the year before that under the Canio. You know, they just limped along. And in the end... They went.
Yeah. He was not happy. I was just above him because I was on the halfway line, you know, in the corporate area, and I was directly above him. Second half, he sat down. I think he stood up twice. And literally, when the whistle blew, he went down the tunnel, didn't say anything to anyone, and he allowed Kevin Nolan to greet the players off. He wasn't anywhere to be seen. He just disappeared. He was fuming. I thought he wasn't going to do the press conference, but he's legally, contractually obliged to do it, and he did it in the end, and that's where he said what he said. But I think he must know. But we're going to talk about that later. Let me just talk about Stat Attack. We had 30.6% possession, meaning they had over 69%, obviously. They had 25 shots, 14 on target. We had 13 shots, just 2 on target. Corners, we had 6 to their 8. We had 10 fouls to their 12. Dirty Chelsea. I mean, the stats sort of speak for themselves, don't they? We just...
Well, the result, the stats, everything.
We just didn't turn up. And Chelsea, I'll tell you what, the Chelsea fans around me were just as surprised as we were. You know, I know they had a good game against Spurs, but
they've picked up, haven't they, now?
They have.
They've obviously jumped us.
We played them at the wrong time, but we also didn't turn up. It wasn't just a good Chelsea. It was just, yeah, both. We didn't turn up, and they were playing their best. And, you know, they looked quite a good team. Maybe we flattened them.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about the game before I move on to John, Nigel?
I don't think we did flatter them. I don't think we did. We put in a performance that the fans have seen, you know, in the past 2 months. And Chelsea have actually been vastly improving as a team. You can look at them at Villa away a couple of weeks ago. And this is where I don't buy into the tired theory. You know, Chelsea players have been playing a lot of games recently.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He likes to spout that one, doesn't he? The 13 extra games.
They've got a lot of injuries. So he's playing, they've been playing midweek and whatever. And they've played cup games. They got to a final and a semi-final. And if you look, their teams don't look tired. That's an excuse of a team that keeps losing. Oh, they're tired. Because when teams win, they never come out and say, oh, the players are tired. It's only when they lose. That's a woeful excuse. So I won't ever have it. And a lot of the fans say it. Oh, he's flogged them to death. I don't think he has. I just think the players can't be bothered.
Yeah, they're on their deck chairs, as they say.
Yeah.
He's lost the room.
Did you watch any of the game, Johnny?
No, I didn't, mate. I didn't watch the highlights.
You didn't want to watch the 8-5 goals going.
Honestly, why would I?
Or the three times we hit the post.
I had the day booked out to go and visit the in-laws, and after that, I wasn't going to go and face the football.
You went to Winchester. Are we still live in Winchester.
I do, yeah. So I didn't, you know. I saw all the chat. I saw all the bits and pieces, and I just write, no. It's been a long day. Let's not make it longer.
I do love how the club sent out a message just before the game going with a tube station going east meets west via the underground or something. Tube strike.
Yeah, well, that's just them, isn't
it? I had to go as I was just saying off air, I had to get a train to Clapham Junction and then go to Imperial Wharf. And then, lucky enough, the rain stayed off long enough for a 14-minute walk to Stamford Bridge.
Good.
But the food was nice. Just a quick one for my day out. I took my whole family, there were 6 of us. My daughter's 21st, Sophia. My son, Finley. My mum, by the way, she's a Chelsea fan. I know. First time at Stamford Bridge, probably like a lot of Chelsea fans. My mum, Sylvie, and my fiancée, Shireen, West Ham, obviously, and my stepdaughter, Julia. We were all there. Nice.
Tell them about the food I missed, Sean. It looked...
Oh, yeah, it was a nice little sort of truffle mushroom sort of starter. Not starter, hors d'oeuvre at the beginning when we came in. Obviously, free bar, and then quite a few spiced rum and coats on the way. And then I think it was a mackerel starter for me. followed by this chicken, sort of roast chicken medley, and then a banoffee sort of mousse for afterwards. Not forgetting mini pies at half time and a cheese course at full time with afternoon tea. It was jolly. The food was gorgeous. You'd have loved it, Nigel.
Don't look like it, mate.
On our table, by the way, hello, Mick, from Sharks, Hollywood Bet Sharks in South Africa. On our table, because we had a big table of 12 right at the end in Canaletto's, which is this Italian restaurant inside Stamford Bridge. And they were the owners of a rugby team. The owner was a New York guy. What's his name? Marco Mansotti. Apparently, he's a New York lawyer. Bought the this rugby team called the Sharks, or one of the best rugby teams. He's over here. They've just got into the final, which is going to be played at Spurs Stadium. And I think they own the Saracens as well. And Barry, the reason he was there, and I was next to one of them, the whole management team was there having a day watching EPL, was he'd helped Todd Bowley buy Chelsea. That's why he was in corporate that day. Small world. But Mick, I think he's the chief brand officer, said he was going to listen to this podcast. So hello, Mick. Good. I hope you're listening.
Chief Grant, what, for Chelsea? Chief Grant?
No, for the Sharks.
Oh, right.
The rugby Sharks, there you go.
Whatever. You didn't get my joke that I was more of a...
What? Go on. Say it again. I might get it the second time.
Well, I said... you said he was a lawyer in New York and he likes the Sharks. And I said, well, I'm more of a Jets.
Got it.
Have you?
Is that a team?
No.
Is that an American
it was a film, Sean.
How was it?
Story. Sharks and Jets.
Oh, right. Sorry, I haven't watched that film.
La, 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 is it new? No, West Side Story.
No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. Anywho.
Anyway, any news, Sean?
Well. So, look. I have already rung Nick up, right? Short apology, because he sent me quite a forceful note after
you've
that.
You've already rung who?
Nick, who I had a bet with, Muppet or Puppet, on £100 bet on whether Moyes would go.
Like Nick from Claret and Booze.
Nick from Claret and Booze. And last week I intimated that he said it was a done deal and Amarin was coming, etc. He reminded me afterwards. He was fine when I rang him up. He goes, I was joking, Sean. I was joking to you. I wasn't being serious. So he was joking, right? He did say it, but he was joking. Anyway, I have thrown in the towel. I've conceded. David Moyes, everyone will know this, is going. And it now looks like, I was talking to some people who I can't name, but I was talking this morning. It now looks like that the announcement will be made before the Luton game on Saturday. There will be some kind of announcement, but, you know, David Moyes has decided, and the club decided not to pursue, extend the contract for next season by mutual agreement, something along those lines, you know. Might even say, like Sam Allardyce did, you know, Sam Allardyce decided not to extend his contract, save him a bit of face, when we all know he was never going to be offered a contract. But, you know, it does mean, I'm not sure if you saw, but there was I hope you did, because I sent it to you, there was a article by Henry Winter from the Times saying that, you know, the board should show David Moyes respect by making an announcement. And I think it's gone beyond a joke now. We know it's not sustainable, all right? In the past, you go, yeah, we're waiting for the end of the season. We're waiting for the meeting. We're waiting for the meeting in May. Well, I mean, it comes that Sky News, not Sky Sports News, Sky News was breaking news. It came up on my app this morning going, David Moyes to leave. I mean, Fabrizio, obviously, you've been talking about it. David Ornstein in the Athletic. You know, anyone who's anyone, Jacob Steinberg, Gary Jacobs, everybody, Henry Winter, as we said, is talking about it now. It's a worst-kept secret in football. And David Moyes must know it deep down. Just no one's actually said the word. He's a dead man walking. And I hope, my understanding is, as it stands today, and we're recording on Bank Holiday Monday, is I don't think there will be an official announcement as such from the club, but I believe the question will be asked in the press conference ahead of Luton, which will probably be this Friday, might even be Thursday, and he will probably announce it then. And that will be it, you know, speculation over, we all know where we stand. Now, so that's the announcement that David Moyes is not staying, and we all know that point now, but just confirmation. And then it's who will be. Now, as you know, I've been talking about this sometimes, and I've been told, oh, you're talking rubbish, etc., that our number one target was Lopetegui. Yeah, the ex-Wolves manager, the ex-Seville manager, the ex-Real Madrid manager, the ex-Porto manager, the ex-Spain manager, and Spain youth. We've done a lot of due diligence on him, spoken to Wolves in length, who did 7 years. They chased him for 7 years, taken references up, etc.
Who chased him for 7 years?
Wolves. It's on record. I'll send you the article that they Wolves chased him for 7 years.
But Wolves... owners haven't been there 7 years, have they?
I'm just telling you what the story says. I'll send you the link if you want to read it.
And Wolves haven't been in the Premier League for 7 years, have they?
Well, they were still chasing him. I'll send you the story. Oh, anyway,
okay.
Let's not spoil the story. Now,
more truth to get in the way of a good
I've
story.
I've been saying that Tim Steiden has been charged with the due diligence. And yes, he has met with Lopetegui at least twice. He flew out to Spain some days or a week ago or something. And yes, he's met them in the UK. And look, there's been a lot of stories that Almiron was the choice of Steiden and Mark Noble. My understanding is Mark Noble's got nothing to do with this. He's a figurehead. He's not involved in the decision on the manager. But Steiden is. Steiden's an employee. And I'm sure he has to do due diligence and everything is told. Whether he's got a preference or not, I think sometimes people just talk about who've got an agenda to say, look, there's two different managers here and they're completely different apart. One is Steiden's choice. The other one is David Sullivan's choice. It is true that Will Salthouse, favoured agent, is involved in the deal. He's not the agent of Lopetegui, but I think that's George Mendes still. Somebody said that he might have parted with him, but there are usually multiple agents in these deals, and I think Will Salthouse, as I've been told by three people, is involved. And then automatically people were, well, this is a Sullivan pick. But look, the situation is, Jacob Steinberg said this, and so is Fabrizio now, and Fabrizio's got a very, very good source, right? this now is all but done. Apart from the paperwork, the contracts, and the board voting for it, right? Because Sullivan can't decide himself. They have to vote. They have to get 51% of the votes to agree that this person, Lopetegui, is going to be a new manager. I believe Sullivan does have the right to veto. So he can veto it, but he doesn't get the final say. The board and 51% of the votes has a final say. So there could be a hiccup yet. But I doubt it. I'm sure they've talked to the board before this, and it's not just going to go to the board. So I think we're talking 90-95% Lopetegui will be our new manager from the 1st of July. 1st of July, because that's when all contracts, new contracts start. I'm not saying he won't be involved before. My understanding is his title is going to be head coach, not manager. And Steiden will be, you know, the director of football, whatever his title is now, and do all the recruitment, and they will work together in that sort of European format. That's what I know. Almiron was always a bit of a wild card. Yes, they did some due diligence. Yes, they met him. But, and I keep on saying this, it is €20 million, £17 million for a Premier League club. I've been told that by two different agents, and not the £12.8 million that other people have mentioned. That's just for a Portugal club. He wants £10 million a year. That's what he was charging Liverpool, right? In a three-year contract. And there's an agent fee on top of that, £3 million. That would be £50 million. And whether we like it or not, and yes, we would spend that much on a football player, that's not what David Sullivan does. David Sullivan gets managers that are free, that have got Premier League experience or connected to the Premier League some way. And, you know, I'm not suggesting there has been no contact, it was ever not a serious contender, but it doesn't surprise me where we've ended up. And I don't want to say be careful what you wish for, but some people already... There's Lopetegui out already on social media, which I find hilarious. If it wasn't so serious, I find absolutely hilarious that people are going, well, I'm not renewing my season ticket if Lopetegui is going to be manager, and I'd rather keep David Moyes. Well, it's too late now, right? That's... We don't own a football club. The decision's been made, and we're going to have to deal with it. Yes, I did a poll of nearly 5,000 people asking, would you rather keep David Moyes and Lopetegui? And 56% said they'd prefer to keep David Moyes, right? And I passed that on to senior source, and he thanked me for the info, but I think it's not going to make a shred of difference, no matter which way the fans feel. There you go. There's the news. John, do you have any response to that? Constructive.
That's just like I'm with Tony Cotty. The circus is well and truly running. It's I don't know. It's, I mean, I wanted Moyes to leave.
Yeah.
Didn't make no bones about that. I don't want to be told careful what I wish for, because I haven't wished for anything. I just wanted to get something that will improve the game of football I watch week in, week out. I don't know enough about Lopetegui to know whether he will or not. I don't know anything really about Amorim. So I've got no sort of skin in the game or who they choose. But it just smacks me of typical Sullivan business. Like you said, he was never going to pay the $17 million to buy him out. He was never going to pay it because he's got someone who's clearly capable free. And that's Sullivan all over. Now, if Amorim is a more ambitious, you know.
We don't know, but you said it, right? And I'm the same boat as you. We don't know enough about either manager. We really don't.
No, I don't. But the whole thing is just terrible. Ownership and running of a football club.
I would admit it's not been played out well.
It's just like, look,
played well in the media.
You know, we were six in January. We've won what, two games since then, or three games, or whatever since then. You know, at some point, if Lopetegui was the choice, he was sat at home doing fuck all. Why on earth, when it's all falling apart around their necks, did they not say, okay, this is what we're doing? He's going. Lopetegui's coming, or just bring him in. And in, like, how much is every position in the Premier League worth, Sean? Is it two million?
Two point two million. And you're right.
So like,
he's not cheap, by the way, when he was at he was earning £8 million a year.
So, John, are you saying what are you advocating there? You're advocating that in January they should have sacked David Moyes and brought Lopetegui in.
What I'm saying is, when it's clear that they'd made a decision, at whatever point they made that decision, that he wasn't getting a new contract, and if Lopetegui was their chosen path, it would have made sense to do it then. Because what's happened since, we were clearly on a downward spiral. When you haven't won, you've only won two games since January, and that wasn't just like January into February. That was quite early on that we weren't winning games, and our performances were going downhill rapid. That every position in the Premier League is £2 million. Every opportunity for any kind of change or bounce in the club could have kept us in the Europe positions. It just smacks me. You know, I mean, I could understand it if they were waiting for this Amorim, who I don't know a lot about, or someone else that's Stuyten, because a lot of people have bought into this Stuyten. The football, like, director, he's like the pearl diver. He's got this. He's got a plan. We're already playing 4-4-3 throughout different levels. We're all going to be doing, you know, a lot of people believe in all that and believe in him. And they will see this as not his choice. And this is all going, this is, when this goes wrong, this is all falling on what Sullivan said.
He comes out and says, actually, this was my choice, and I did the due diligence just to prove all the people wrong. who...
Well, unless he does something like that, people won't believe it.
Yeah.
And everyone will bring this back to Sullivan. And, you know, it just... It doesn't... You know, if he was this football director, the one who brought Alonso in and the one who... I mean, if he had someone in mind that they were waiting for at the end of the season or whatever, I could understand, let's play the season out and let it run its course. But when Lopetegui's the choice and he's not in work and we're falling off a cliff rapidly and we still had opportunities to try and... I mean, it was only 5 games ago, we were 6 still. You know, there's an opportunity there to...
But it don't work like that in football, John. It don't work like that.
Why doesn't it?
You know, I'll tell you why. Because when you're falling up the cliff, the results have been mixed. But the defeats actually have only stacked up in the last 5 weeks. Before the Newcastle game, we'd actually only lost 3 in 2024. 3 league games. And they were all one after the other. They were Arsenal, Man United and Forest.
But so isn't it pretty much since the Arsenal game that we...
No, because what happened is that we also beat Brentford, Everton, drew with Burnley, drew with Villa in that run after the Arsenal game. So, yes, we had a run where we lost to Man United, Arsenal and then Forest. But then we beat Brentford, Everton, drew with Burnley. We should have beat them. But anyway, Villa, you know, who had a late equaliser. And in the Newcastle game where we self-destructed after being 3-1 up with 15 minutes to go. And so they were fortunate with a dodgy penalty.
Yeah, but you after know, Newcastle, then, you know...
So after Newcastle. But then after the Newcastle game, we drew with Tottenham and beat Wolves.
Yeah.
But so we've lost 7 games this calendar year, and 3 of them have been in the last 4 games.
But we've won, what, how many points have we gathered this year?
It's been a lot of draws. Do you want me to tell you? 1,
no,
no,
not
2,
really.
3,
not really, but, difference?
10, 11.
I don't think the decision was made, John. 15, I really don't. 16, now, you might
16 points this calendar year.
But I don't think they made the decision till recently.
No. Yeah, I think they were probably umming and ahhing, and I think they probably realised after the Palace defeat. Because they looked at the Fulham game, got beat by Fulham at home, thought, blimey. He's gone to Palace and got absolutely tanked. And bearing in mind our second goal came from a back pass where a West Ham player didn't touch the ball. You know, otherwise it would have been a 5-1 defeat. And I think that's when they've realised,
I think you're right.
We were in a false position in a way. And I'll tell you why I say false position. Because of the teams below us, we knew had games in hand. So while we were sitting 6, you know, the teams below us all had 1 or 2 games in hand on us. And the points was that close that it was going to happen. You're never going to pull people. You can't pull the trigger on supposition. You have to let it play out. And we've played it out and it didn't work.
They had opportunities.
You can't have hindsight. It's easy to criticise on hindsight. It is, but you have to let the season play out. Me, I'm all for actually saying to teams, you can't sack a manager. And you, like the transfer window, that's when you sack a manager. So you either sack them in January or you leave until the end of the season.
So their lack of ability to make a decision has cost 8
million.
Well,
you say that, but I don't. The thing is, I don't think they made the wrong decision.
Breaking news. Breaking news.
Letting it run out. Go on then.
I've just been tipped off that there will be an announcement today.
Today? Well, you know, listen, the thing about this is that, as typical with West Ham...
Yeah, definitely, just confirmed.
Leaks like a sieve. Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a good chance that David Moyes learnt about this from social media, or from people that have seen it on social media before the clubs had the bollocks to tell him. So
yeah,
this is the problem. The problem is the way the club's run. If David Moyes was their man, they should have gave him a 2-year contract after we won the cup. The fact that they never did that just shows you the shambolic. The fact that they were prepared to let a manager again run his contract down to nothing. And all this, I will make the decision at the end of the season. Crap. Bearing in mind, and this is the thing, this ain't the first time they've done this. And it's panned out exactly the same way. Allardyce had West Ham City in fourth spot. Well, you say God bless him, John, but let's play the games. I know you're trying to fucking rail me. But at the end of the day, he had us sitting in fourth spot.
I know he did.
Yeah? And he gave up and the players gave up because everybody knew it was the worst kept secret. Because we all knew, didn't we? We knew he weren't getting a new contract. And people have got to play their games and they forget they're playing games in front of the fans. Time and time again. At some point, and this is the thing I don't get, all this anger at Moyes and everything. Don't get angry at Moyes. Get angry at them that run
Solomon.
The club.
Yeah, get angry at them.
Or the whole lot of them. The fact that Kretinsky comes in and he's just... The fact that, you know, we've got a bloke who really actually pays no attention to the football club. Is that what we want?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a fan of having an Arab run the club or someone that don't support the club or ain't West Ham. And I get that modern football has long surpassed anything, you know. I'm proud to be a dinosaur, yeah? I'm proud to believe in West Ham as being a different type of club, but it ain't. And the quicker they go, then the better it'll be.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Because Lopetegui's going to come in. Here's the thing. The only foreign manager they've ever appointed that's ever done anything decent was Bilic.
Yeah.
And he was coming into a club that he knew. Yeah? If you look at every other foreign manager they've appointed, Avram Grant, Pellegrini, it's only Bilic that's worked out.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. It is a shower of shit.
And
again,
as for Lopetegui,
as always has been.
It is a mad reason why I think actually Lopetegui is the right fit. is that if you brought someone in, and because what happened is that we've long complained on this podcast about you went.
Oh, it's just been announced.
What was it? What's it say?
Sean, put your phone on silent, Sean. Sorry. You can still get the messages.
Yeah, West Ham can confirm David Moyes will leave by mutual consent at the end of the season when his contract expires.
Right, there you go. Well, that's done then. By the time you listen to this, people, you'd have heard it anyway.
Yeah, of course you will, yeah.
So I'll just finish why I think Lopetegui was the right fit. And this is the thing, is that we went from Zola to Avram Grant, played different type of football. Avram Grant to Allardyce played a different brand of football. Allardyce to Bilic, Bilic played different football. Then from Bilic to Moyes, different. Moyes to Pellegrini, different. Pellegrini to Moyes, different. No continuity in the style of play or the way it's set up. If what people say that I've read, because I don't really know a lot about Lopetegui, to be fair, I didn't think his Wolves team were that bad. I thought he did well at Wolves, considering they were sinking at the start.
Yeah, he did. They were bottom of the table.
Yeah, he got a reaction, got them out, and he got them out of trouble when they were looking bang on the money to go down. So he's done that, and Gary O'Neill has achieved the same rifly results as what Lopetegui has. And we all love Gary O'Neill. But if you've got, if he is the Spanish David Moyes, then it does make sense. Because West Ham, like it or not, ain't got the money to rip up the whole squad and replace it. And this is a team that's been built to play a certain way. Now, some of the things I've read says to me, he plays a bit further forward, which we can only all agree is going to be a better thing. Because, Jesus Christ, you couldn't play further back than David Moyes' teams have been playing in the last few weeks. So, listen, the king is dead. As I say, long live the king. Let's go forward with Lopetegui. I'll back him until he's not in charge anymore. I hope, for the club's sake, that he turns out to be as successful as David Moyes has.
Do you want me to read David Sullivan's statement?
Yep.
On behalf of everyone at West Ham United, I would like to offer our sincere thanks and gratitude to David for the contribution he has made to the football club during his time as manager. David has been responsible for a period of great progress and success in our history, and we're extremely grateful for his hard work, commitment and dedication to the role. David has been an absolute professional to work with, and he will leave with our greatest respect and good wishes. He deserves to be held in the highest esteem for the service he has given to West Ham United, and wish him every success for the future. By making this announcement now, it allows David to get the send-off he deserves from the West Ham supporters to show our appreciation to him on our final home fixture of the season against Luton Town on Saturday.
Yeah, so it should.
Yeah.
Well, there's one bit there about getting the respect that he deserves, yeah? Hollow words from Sullivan. Because the respect that he deserves, it should not have been handled this way. This has only come about today because journalists have been briefed, and rather than the club being on the front foot, it's on the back foot, like it always is. Like they are. You know Sean the game.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah? They brief you, they brief them, and someone else who's involved in it has briefed Fabrizio Romano.
Yeah.
We've got a good idea who it is. I ain't going to, for once in my life.
Oh, really?
For once in my life, I will keep my trap shut. Yeah?
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's good for anyone, actually. Yeah. But shame on that person as well, in my eyes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Shame on him and all.
Yeah.
Well, I just look forward to the shame, careful what you wish for stories more. But see, that doesn't hold any stead to me because the majority, I think, who buy into all this think that Stuyten was going to bring us a new, young, amazing manager, develop the youth and go attacking everywhere. And that's what people were wishing for. So hopefully, I mean, I'm with you, Nigel. Good luck to Lopetegui. Come on. Show us what you can do.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Do you want David Moyes's?
I thought you'd say David Gold's then. Say, well, yeah. Have you been in touch with him, Sean?
David
Moyes. Anybody there? Is anybody there?
David Moyes is with Huey. I have enjoyed 4.5 brilliant years at West Ham and the club and left the club in a stronger position than I returned in 2019. When I joined West Ham for a second time, the club was one place above the relegation zone. It's been a terrific journey to achieve 3 consecutive seasons in Europe. After leading the club to safety, we guided the team to finish as the 6th and 7th in the Premier League. And I was delighted when we won the European Conference League title last June, the club's first trophy in 43 years. I'd like to thank all the players for their support and all the successes they have achieved over the last 4.5 years. I've really enjoyed working with everyone at West Ham. I'd like to say thank you for the board for giving me the opportunity to manage this great club. I wish my eventual successor, the directors, the players, the staff, the fans and everyone at West Ham all the best for the future. There you go.
There you go.
End of an era, as they say.
Yeah.
That's the right thing to do. I'm glad, whether it took the article from Henry Winter this morning, but I did tweet earlier that this was going to happen. I thought they might leave it until later in the week, but they've decided to nip it in the bud, quite rightly, and stop the news cycle now. So well done.
Well done.
Well, and John, you'll be there on Saturday because we will give him, I'm sure he'll do a lap of honour, and I hope he gets the reception he deserves.
No, I don't disagree. You know, you can't question what he's achieved. It's like, you know, it has been one of the most successful periods we've ever seen, if not the most successful period that I can remember, because I wasn't there for the cup final wins or whatever.
Mm.
So yeah, got to give him the respect it is due.
It makes Saturday even a bigger party. Look, we're already. Are we still on for moorings, Nigel?
Yeah. We'll sort it out.
We're talking pre-air that we're going to meet at moorings and have a prime mash.
We'll sort it out. Did you like? I don't know if you put it through what I said about this. Let's have a little party by the canal.
Yeah. I haven't told him that yet, but let's not tell everyone.
All right. Well, I don't know. There was a bit of me thinking, if we tell everyone, I'm willing to buy enough cases that the first people to come up and say, I'll listen to the podcast, I'll give them a can of lager. What about if we...
Oh, there you go.
Maybe buy a few cases of lager.
All right.
And
but we've only got 8 listeners, so you could buy them all.
Well, I could do, yes. We could do. What about the first 8 to turn up get 1 can, but the 9th gets a 4-pack?
Yeah. All right.
Something stupid like that. and Dodsey's not included. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we know he listens.
Yeah.
But
Dodsey stayed to the end. By the way, lots of people either went back to the bar or abandoned. But Dodsey did stay to the end, and I was being a bit of a baby reindeer and stalking him by zooming in on the video.
I mean...
On his phone, doing his bloody voice notes in the middle of the game.
All right, yeah. Well, he can't tell Siri what to say because Siri can't speak West Country. I mean, I don't know. Listen, at the end of the day, we can now look at Moyes' record as West Ham manager.
Yeah.
And... like him or not, like the way he played football or not, he stands up as the third greatest manager in West Ham's history at 17. The best statistically in the Premier League, yeah. For goals scored, for points achieved, for league positions. And whether you like the way that we played or you didn't like the way we played, it brought results that this club had not seen. How good is the Conference League win? Funny enough, I don't think we can really judge it until we qualify for that tournament again. But for
Aston Villa is struggling now, aren't
they? Let's not shoot Villa down. Yeah, 4-2 down. They lost at home to Olympiacos. Funny enough, who we beat at home.
Yeah, I know.
But what I will say is that where I think Moyes gets disrespected more for that Conference League win is the fact that we won 13 out of 14 games and drew the other game. I mean, to do what he did there in European football, the 17 games undefeated run, I believe, which was a record that Man City took away from us, funny enough, and same this season. His record, I hope in years to come that Moyes will be as fondly remembered as we remember the likes of, you know, Harry Redknapp and Alan Pardew and managers like that, because he deserves it. You know, he is up there with Lyle and Greenwood for what he's achieved. Whether you like the way he did it or not, for me that's secondary. Achievements when put on paper, he's you know, he's just in the top three.
Yeah, when it goes concise to history.
Yeah. Well, he is now, isn't he? That's at the end of the day now, that's it, it's done. We can look at him, we can finish off what he's.
I wonder how he approaches final two games. Obviously he's gonna be there, that's the whole point, managing Luton before people go caretaker manager. And obviously City will be his last game. I wonder how he's gonna approach his last two games. Do you think it would be any different to any
way
of the
he always has,
yeah, I knew you'd say that.
Well, again, I've said it before, it baffles me that, you know, he had a free... I mean, I would have liked him to have left after the cup win on his own terms. Thank you.
But they wouldn't have been his own terms.
He didn't want to leave. I don't think he wants... He wants
He could have got. He could have got left there as a club hero, couldn't he?
Is he not now?
I think he is.
I think it's tainted.
I think this whole mutual thing is a load of old bollocks. He would have taken he said last week, I would have stayed on. He was asked and he said, I'm embarrassed for you. Someone asked him and said, have you still got the fight? Have you still got the desire? And he went, I'm a football man. Do you still want to be here next season? He went, absolutely, I do. That was just on Thursday or Friday.
He had an opportunity this season to try and change his approach.
He'll get it. He was the longest serving Premier League manager, wasn't he?
No.
Who was?
Klopp's done seven. Klopp's done nine.
So after Klopp, he was second after Klopp then. Yeah?
I think Pep's been there longer.
Yeah, how long's he been there now?
2015-16, didn't Pep turn up?
Oh, is he?
Up?
All right. Or 16-17. The third then.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. After Pep and Klopp.
Longest serving British manager.
Probably Wenger, isn't it?
Well, Wenger's not British.
No.
And Wenger's not managing. So.
Yeah. But I'm saying who had the longest tenure as a Premier League manager? Was it Wenger?
Fergie had from 92 to 2013. I think Wenger may have, yeah. Didn't Wenger do 22 years at Arsenal? So he may have done. Sneaked it. Moyes' record, I've got it up to date, believe it or not. Average goals per game is 1.56. Conceded is 1.6. On average, he wins 15 games a season.
Hmm. Oh, Tony Cotty is piped up again.
Yeah.
My suspicions appear to be correct. And if true, what a totally... utterly uninspired choice of new manager, in my opinion. Although, why are we surprised? The board have already given us Avram Grant, Emmanuel Pellegrini, with a massive summer ahead in terms of squad rebuilding and ageing team. Why would you not look a young, dynamic, young British manager to piece it all together? Carrick, O'Neill, McKenna, Potter, not even mention What a joke. A very fed up Hammer.
Well, you know, the thing I would say to TC there is that let's have a bit of patience. You know, it could be Michael Carrick's turn in a couple of years. Let's face it. Let's be brutally honest here, yeah? Lopetegui's got a max, you know, of 2-3 seasons.
He's 50.
Before we move on again,
well,
to the next one.
There is a scenario, and I hope I don't get in trouble with this, because I did speak to Nick from Claret and Booze just about an hour ago before we came on the air.
Yeah.
And he's not happy, right, with Lopetegui being our choice. And he said,
"Well, that's good, because he does well not being happy."
Yeah, so Lopetegui out already started, you know. Anyway, I talked about a scenario, right, where he doesn't get off well, and by Christmas he's sacked, and they bring back David Moyes to save their season. And he goes, yeah, I can see that, Sean. I can see that. And that's, someone else said that. It's not my idea, but you could see David Moyes coming back if this doesn't work out. By the way, Alan Repka replied to Tony Cotty and made a good point. He said, Lopetegui has lost 67 games in 14 years. Moyes has lost 59 games in 3 seasons. Lopetegui lost 19 league games in 3 years. Moyes lost 20 last season. Not sure how anyone can say this is an uninspiring appointment, given no one better was even interested in coming here. And Tony replied, I hope you're right, Alan. I agree he's got a good record, but in my opinion, I just see this as another Pellegrini appointment.
Yeah, we'll see, won't we?
Yeah.
Does he fit in? Does he, you know, the thing is, the biggest beef that even people pro Moyes, is the way we play. You can't dress up. You know, people have got their own how much they're willing to accept, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing is, David Moyes is self-titled. He's a defensive-minded coach, cautious.
Yeah.
Well, while he's got the best goal-scoring record for West Ham in the Premier League of goals per game, he's got the second worst for conceding we've had in the Premier League in goals. So, you know, and he's done that off the back of not being open. Yeah? So he's done that. So Bilic conceded goals, but Bilic did that because we were more forward thinking. Moyes hasn't. So, you know, there's a lot to take there out of it. So obviously someone's replied, Sean. Go on.
I was just talking to senior source about the statement and so on.
Okay. And he said?
No, it's not for publication.
Oh, right.
It's not for publication. I think they just wanted to do the right thing. I did send a particular person the Henry Winter article first thing this morning.
Yeah, they just want to do the right thing. Sean, they are incapable of doing the right thing. This is not the right thing. This is not the right thing. And it shouldn't be dressed up as, oh, we've done the right thing. No, you ain't. The right thing would have been to make the decision and announce it there and then. Not allow a bloody foreign journalist to do it for you.
Because do you not see it, Sean?
What's
it's
that?
It's embarrassing.
Do you not see how shit our football club has run?
I can,
come on!
I see that the problem is that they're behind the news story and the news article. And they don't see it. Every little thing.
They were probably
naive to think it wouldn't get out doing their due diligence.
Naive, Sean. Maybe when they've run a club for a while.
Yeah, 30 years they've been in football. They've got the Brady is held up as she's in the House of Lords, appointed there so she become a business guru. And look how she fucking runs a business, Sean. It's embarrassing.
I'm not going to comment, right? So, of course you're entitled to your opinion. Let's tell the same.
I don't know what I'm more staggered, Sean. The fact that you won't agree to that, or the fact that I'm surprised sometimes at the way they behaved.
I'm surprised you're surprised. If you've known behind the curtain, Wizard of Oz, for some time, you know how sausages are made. So
yeah, so it's a shit show. You know it's a shit show. So
there's a great article, by the way. ESPN did a massive article.
See that, John? On C's diversion.
Lob Petegan.
He talks
about...
It should be a politician,
isn't it? I'm talking about a circus. There's a great article.
Bollocks on.
There's a long read. Read the Lob Petegan article. Long read for ESPN. Look, I don't know what you want me to say, boys, right? The king is dead. Long live the king.
Well, just once in your life, like, I think for me...
They could have handled this better, right? What do you want me to say? Tell me what you want me to say. I'll tell you what to say.
No, do you know what? I'd like to know truthfully...
Go on.
Yeah? What you think of the shit show that they have produced?
I don't... I think they have financially managed this club very well. I think the stadium moves...
Oh, do you?
For us. Yeah, do I do. You? I do.
You think buying Hilaire for this and selling him for that and doing this and
doing that too. And look, lots of Chelsea and others have made massive mistakes, right? You buy a striker.
Oh, we had a good old run of it.
No, well, you have a look at a lot of clubs. You know, Everton, the reason they're in this, they've spent so much money on players, it doesn't work out, right? That's football, John, right? I think that Karen Brady is a good business person. And I think, you know, Sullivan didn't become a billionaire by being a bad business person. Have they made mistakes? Yes, they have. Many, many. But so have other chairmen, etc. So, I won't criticise them. Have they been naive on this appointment? Yes, they should have done. But I truly believe they've only made the decision recently. But once they made the decision, I think they should have sat down, David, and gone. And I think you're right. It might have been after the Palace and go, look, David, we're not going to renew you. Let's be honest. Let's just make an announcement before it was released by Jacob Steinberg and Fabrizio, etc. And then they're on the back foot when Henry Winter writes a piece saying, you know, we should give him a proper send-off. It shouldn't be down to the media to point that out. So they were wrong in that. That's as far as I'm going to go. Time for the safe story.
Yep, go for it.
So, at last...
Have you seen this thing that George has put on?
No, I'm going to talk about that in a minute. So, last week, talked about I had an old Woolworths safe, really sturdy safe, where the the batteries ran out, right, when the combination, like a hotel, you know, safe, one of those four-digit ones.
What was in it, Sean?
Jewellery, passports, other papers, etc. Other important documents, yeah. It was a sort of fire safe and a safe. Anyway, I couldn't get in it. So, it had passports and everything. There was some really important stuff in there. So I called. I thought, who do I know? I know. I'll call someone who used to be a locksmith or still is a locksmith. Do you still keep up your dues to the Locksmith Association, Nigel?
I still get the Locksmith magazine. I was once in a Locksmith Association, not the Master Locksmith Association. The Master Locksmith Association wasn't for me, and I probably wasn't for them.
Adam, what's his second name?
Jackson.
His Ferrari and his McLaren doesn't pay for itself, you know.
No. Look, listen. certain people know why I don't.
Join those organisations.
Yes, and why I stepped away from being a full-time locksmith. I moved into the electronics security games. You know, there's various different paths in being a locksmith. So
anyway, we do a locksmith.
I made my bed, I had to lie in it, anyway, basically. So
I looked a bit of YouTube, and there was a bump method, right? It's called the bump method. So I showed him this. He went, go on then. So you bump the top of it, and apparently it makes a solenoid jump down, and you open it up, right? And Nigel went, good luck with that. Well, you did say, use a rubber hammer. I was using a metal hammer.
Oh, no, yeah.
And he went, use a metal hammer. Bump doesn't work. So if you're ever trying that. Second one was to use a magnet. Now, I do a bit of magnet fishing. So I put a magnet underneath, right? That failed. So then we got into the... He said, well, try and join the lockup. Use a
scoop. No. The first thing was, unfortunately, you'd already butchered the keyway.
No, the key, that was what it was like already. But you said try and move around.
Someone must have butchered it.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
Right, so someone's already had a go and butchered the key override that I could have told you, but then all right. So then
you said drill it out.
Yeah, which I didn't expect you to push it into the fucking
door. So I drilled it out, right? I broke a drill bit. I didn't tell you that. But the first drill bit I broke. and I'm sending in Nigel pictures all the way through. So his first drill bit I broke. Anyway, I went up to a bigger drill bit and it pushed it through. Right, so it's now rattling in the safe, and I'm going, oh, I didn't want to do that. So then I go to Nigel, I said, I found two cables, two wires, and he said, we'll put a battery on it. And he sent us a note, my son Finley was helping us, and he said, connect the positive, but don't short it out. He said, really important, you know,
connect the positive to the red,
yeah,
but don't short it out, yeah,
that's what you said,
yeah.
Now, he didn't say connect the black to the negative.
No, I just assumed.
So my son argued that.
I just assumed that would be, oh, if you've got two wires and you've got a positive and negative, just make sure the positive goes to the red. I think that is what my text said. But anyway, continue.
So then I sent him a picture and we did connect it, but worked out afterwards, actually, that battery just went to the battery thing and the circuit board.
You missed a bit of when you sent me a photograph and said it didn't work.
Yeah.
Because you'd only connected the positive to the red, not the negative to the black.
So then we connect it, but then it didn't work because then we found out afterwards those two cables just went from the battery to the thing. It wasn't the solenoid one. But then suddenly, right? I
sent you a picture showing you where the solenoid was on a different side.
You did.
You need to push that down, which Finley managed to do.
We did. We managed to get a light in there and see the solenoid, and we got a screwdriver, thin screwdriver down, pressed it open, hay press. So there you go. If only 2 hours of our life, but we did get it open. I can recommend Nigel for if you get a position where it's lawfully, you're safe and you need to get in it.
I can't tell you why that's funny on air. anyway.
Talking of that, off air, you never told me the auction place, but I have got, just for the last thing,
yes,
I'm not going to say it, I think I know what it is. I've got I've now got a Thames Ironworks share certificate from 1864.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was signed by three directors at the time. One of them was Frank Hills, the father of Arnold Hills. It said Frank Hills made all the money. Arnold Hills lost it all, went bankrupt. That's what the history books say. The second person who was signing it was Alan Lord, Alan Churchill Spencer, or Spencer Churchill, great uncle of Winston Churchill, who apparently helped a guy found, he was a big investor and helped found the Thames Ironworks to begin with before Arnold and the Hills came along. And the third person was called Captain John Ford. And I've done a bit of history on him. An American who founded the Pittsburgh Glass Factory and made steamboats in America and was the managing director of Thames Ironworks. So it's a nice little collector's item. And you tried to research the shareholder, didn't you?
Joe? Yeah, I did discover him. Because it's weird how they used to write years ago. Because funny enough, when you asked me the name, you put Law, and obviously it was Tor.
Tor.
But I'd spent half hour looking for Law because I thought it was an L.
Oh, you thought it was L too.
And then I looked at it and then did a bit of digging and realised it could be a T, changed it to Tor, and then that matched me with the right person at the right address.
There you go.
He was obviously a city trader and dealer. Lived in Lamb's Conduit Street, which is, I think it's off, like, down by Holborn, Lamb's Conduit Street, still there. The black cabbies will know it. So, yeah, I mean, they're interesting documents.
Joseph Della Tor.
Yeah, Tor, yeah.
And you reckon he moved to, so they were selling at this point in 1864. Yeah. They were raising £500,000 in 5,000 shares of £100 yeah. each. So this guy bought two.
Yeah, so what you got to look at there is what was happening around that time. So in the 1860s, that's when the Hills family, because what you got to remember is that the Thames Ironworks was there was a shipyard there already. C.J. Mayers, and
that's right.
Ditchburn and Mayers. Ditchburn and Mayers had gone, went bankrupt. Might have been Ditchburn and Mayer first, then C.J. Mayer, but whatever way round. One of them had gone bankrupt, and then that's when Arnold Hill's father, Frank, came into the business in the mid-1860s. Obviously, they then started issuing stocks, and that was when the expansion big time happened with the ironworks. When they first moved onto the River Lee side, onto the Essex side of the River Lee, from the Middlesex side, which is around Trinity Wolf. So, yeah, it's
do you ever heard of the guy? He was the guy who bought the company assets to turn into Thames Ironworks in 1850, related to the Greenwich MP, I think, or something. It was all a bit incestuous. Yeah.
Well, that's
here's an interesting thing.
What's this? And what's this got to do with Moyes leaving? By the way,
it's not. It's a bit of West Ham history. It's our history corner. The last thing I'd say is I didn't know till recently, until I was doing a bit of research, is the reason Thames Ironworks went bust is all the Navy orders dried up, and it was 1912, and he wrote to Winston Churchill begging for some orders to keep it alive.
That's correct. And he actually
and 2 years later, obviously, they would have survived because they went the First World War.
There is footage
started.
Of him going to the Admiralty, and by that time he couldn't walk and he was carried on a stretcher.
Oh, is it?
This is Hills. So the last ship was built in 1911, and there were no orders. But the problem was is that the shipyards up at the Tyne and on the Clyde and on the Weir, the problem with Thames was it was too far upstream, couldn't build the bigger ships that were needed. The mad thing about it as well is not only did we miss out, you know, we built some ships to fought in World War One, but I think we'd built half of the Japanese Navy as well. We'd built a lot of the Japanese ships in the early 1900s.
Yeah. And anyway, as John said, it's not a history podcast. But yeah, it will go with my Thames Ironworks hammer as a very nice bit of memorabilia. Anything we want to say, going back to what you said, John, on Moyes?
No, I want to go now because I've got my Chinese just turned up.
Oh, right. Well, you go. What's your prediction for, before you go... what's your prediction for Luton on Saturday, apart from we're going to get very drunk?
Oh, I think we're going to win 3-2.
Ooh. Just had something from Len saying, rumours of Noble leaving. Interesting.
Yeah, seen that.
Yeah. All right, John, enjoy your Chinese. Nigel, what is your prediction?
I predict Mark Noble won't leave.
Me too, because he's got a lot of shit.
Where's he going to go?
No other fucker will have him. Yeah.
Well, does he need the job?
Probably not. He's got a lot of property.
Why would he go? Because he's upset because Moyes has been let go.
I think that's the rhetoric. That's the agenda. Yeah, because we're appointing Lopetegui and he wanted Amrin, I'm sure, is what the agenda mongers would say.
Okay, all right.
Enjoy your Chinese, John.
Yeah, all right.
All right.
See you later.
See ya. Nigel, what did you say?
Well, my prediction for Luton is actually we will win 3-1.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna go for a 1-0 win just to make it a little bit different. But we'll have a good time. We're seeing off Huey. Huey's funeral was on Friday, and I just want to say thank you for Mickey Bubbles, Mickey Bowen, who's the bubble man. Who does the bubbles and the fire on European nights. And do you know what? Real big respect to him. He lives in Stratford and he saw Huey was having his funeral on Friday, which would have been his 80th, that's Huey Southern, his 80th birthday. We buried him in Rugby. And it was a small ceremony, you know, family and friends. And he travelled all the way to Stratford to be at the funeral. To put the bubble machine on as we put bubbles as the service ended. So well done, Mickey Bubbles. And I will be talking to him and getting him on the podcast sometime, because I do think there's some interesting stuff to know about bubbles. He was telling me a lot of bubbles, right?
Well, of course, Sean, we were part of the SAB that helped get bubble machines.
Yeah, I know.
So perhaps Mickey...
But I was telling him that this Japanese, do you know this? Do you remember when I did a Japanese article when the stadium was coming and the club put me in touch with the Japanese broadsheet, one of the biggest newspapers? Yeah. And all they wanted to know is about bubbles. And the one question they asked me, and I was telling Mickey Bubbles this, how many bubbles would fill the London Stadium? Well, it's impossible to know. So I just made up a figure. And I think I said 22.2 million bubbles. It sounded a plausible number.
Right. Well, what you got to do is you got to obviously work out what the volume and the square footage of the Olympic Stadium. Then obviously work out what the diameter of a bubble blown by one of Mickey Bubbles' bubbles machines.
Yeah.
And then you can know presto. Or you could get John Lennon, if he was alive. Maybe instead of writing how many holes
Mickey's
there are in Blackburn,
and
Lancashire,
Gonzo was there as well, right? But he's offered us, and I'm sure this includes you and any of the other podcast boys, a behind-the-scenes bubbles tour.
Yeah, well, you know I've already said I'll take him up.
Yeah, I know you would. It's a kind of thing.
Strangely enough, I would
including find how he made the special, the unique machines.
Yeah,
the unique that machines, you need to do that.
And the special sauce that goes into...
Oh, it's special liquid as well. Yeah, and at once they had smoke in it and stuff. Anyway, that's it. Obviously, the title for this will be something about Moyes. The king is dead. Long live the king. I don't think we're doing a question time, are we, this week? Because it's a bank holiday and we've got other family stuff to get on with.
I don't know what people...
Tomorrow. Maybe tomorrow. We'll see.
We're not doing
one now. We just don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
I mean...
We discuss it off air, right? We shouldn't have a meeting.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, it's funny, you know, as you've heard us, we've to digest exactly what's gone on.
Just don't believe everything you read, right? There's a lot of agenda setting. All we know is David Moyes will not be our manager next season. He's definitely leaving on the 31st of June. We can say goodbye to him.
But I think we can
there will
infer,
be a new manager,
yeah,
which will probably be Lopetegui.
I think we can
he's still
infer,
got to sign a contract.
Yeah, yeah. But what I'm saying is that the fact that it didn't get to the end of the season, the fact that there was no sit down together and let's see what happens.
Yeah.
This
it wasn't mutual.
This is more club than manager.
I think you can agree that, yeah.
Yeah.
Anywho, that's it for this week. We're on the 80-minute mark. I'm surprised we talked for so long. The save probably took up some of it and the history bit. But I've been Sean. Nigel has been...
I'm a bit obviously disappointed, but hey-ho, that's football.
Yeah. And Johnny's long gone eating his Chinese. Come on, you Irons.
Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast. Bobby Moore. More than just a podcast.
I think they're probably getting the biggest win rate out of a certain amount of managers as well. So I think if you're putting it that way, that's what I do. I win. And I'm coming here to West Ham initially to try and get us wins and away from the wrong end of the table.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.